Committee on General Government and Transportation and Economic Development. Today is Monday, June 13th, 2005. We're going to open a work session on House Bill 3493, carried over from June 9th, and this is relating to the statewide lien register. Dallas, why don't you, give us an update?
Mr. Chair, last week, Thursday, we had a public hearing, and then we had testimony from representatives of the counties. You closed the public hearing, opened up a work session, and carried over the work session until today because counties, there were some issues, and they were to work on it, come back to see if they could get to a resolution. The issues were basically the counties didn't want the bill and how we could find some middle ground.
Perfect.
And, so we're here with the work session again.
I'm going to ask if the Secretary of State's office and the Department of Revenue can come up really quickly. Identify yourselves for the record, and then we'll...
For the record, Peter Threlkel with the Secretary of State's office.
And I'm Susan Browning, Deputy Director with the Department of Revenue.
Did you folks have an opportunity to visit with the counties at all last week after the public hearing on House Bill 3545?
No, that was
3493.
Thank you.
3545 was the LC. Oh, that's right. Thank you on House Bill 3493.
Yes, Mr. Chair, we did. We met with Ms. Jan from Yamhill County, Ms. Coleman, and Mr. Morales, and also Gil Riddell, and talked about the bill after the hearing.
Was there any opportunity to ease them of their concerns, or are those concerns?
Mr. Chair, we talked about some different ideas and some options. One of them looking at the revenue possibility a little bit, and one of them looking at maybe a centralized registry that would be done by the counties. And as we left it, the counties were going to go back and work on that and see if there was some merit to it and what they could do with that piece. And we made our offer to help in any way.
Okay, terrific. Terrific. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do we have anyone who wants in the audience who wants to come and testify on 3493? Did you want to come on back up and share your thoughts with us?
Good morning. I'm Jan Coleman. I'm the Yamhill County Clerk, and I'm representing the Oregon Association of County Clerks. We did meet with the department. Mr. Riddell from ALC was also there. We would have liked to have had possibly Mr. Monroe or someone from the land title with us, and they were not there. The clerks do have a thought for an amendment on this bill, but we feel we have to take this to AOC at this point because it's not just the clerks that are affected. It's assessors big time. They're far more affected than we are. And this is the A&T program that the actually Department of Revenue runs. If this lien register goes through, basically what happens is that piece of support that goes to assessors is dropped out for those number of state liens. So we feel we have to go to AOC, and unfortunately AOC wasn't meeting until 10 o'clock today. So we feel we have to take this proposed thought for amendment that we have to AOC to get their basically go ahead before we can really take it forward.
Did folks understand? I came away from our last public hearing with perhaps the perception there was a misunderstanding. This statewide lien register applies only to state agencies and state obligations, not private sector.
We know that. Sure.
Okay.
County clerk lien register, if we're in county clerk's recording, is primarily agency registration liens. That's primarily what it's made up of. There are some others that pop in, but that is, for the most part, what we do with that. IRS also.
Faulkner, excuse me.
Thank you for the compliment, Bill. Well, I appreciate that. Like that. I'm not sure he would view it as a compliment, but I certainly do.
Listen, anybody who's got hair like that, I'll take it. It would be helpful to know at least conceptually what your amendment is.
Well, we kind of tossed around two thoughts for amendment. In many of the counties already, what is happening is for the county tax collector, what counties do is when the lien is presented, there is no charge for the lien. And then once the county collects on that, then they pay both for the lien and the satisfaction. And we are kind of proposing that a similar type thing could be done with the state liens. That way, the state could go ahead and put all their liens on and build in the collection fee for the lien and the satisfaction. So when they collect, and then once they collect, they pay for both the lien and the satisfaction when they submit the satisfaction. So that's kind of where we're coming from.
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Please.
Your amendment then simply helps continue the revenue stream from the state to the counties as it has been.
Right.
And it doesn't affect anything outside of that revenue stream.
As far as?
Anything else.
It also maintains the public record as far as in one place where the record is.
Please.
If the bill goes forward, and if it went forward with your amendment, what it would simply mean then is you'd be keeping the record in two places, one central location that the state agencies could use, but continue to keep it with the counties so that the public and everybody else who normally goes through you to have access to those kind of records would. Is that right?
If, I guess. As proposed, that sounds like maybe that would be the case. We weren't seeing it as the lien. The state would come still through with the lien register, but it could happen either way.
Anything else you'd like to share with the committee?
No, not as far as I'm concerned. I think possibly Mr. Monroe might have something from the land title.
Well, if this committee does vote to pass out House Bill 3493, I would encourage you to go visit with Chair Johnson on the Senate side. I know I'm open to amendments.
Okay.
And if there's a way to make this work between the state and the counties, I'm very open to that.
Okay, great. After we meet with AOC, it'll be easier too. So.
Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. If you would, existing statutes may already allow for you to handle the fees for state filed liens this way as proposed. I believe that already exists in statute, but if you would confirm that while you're looking into that.
It does, because we already handle the marriage license situation very similarly. We collect money for the state for the marriage license and pass it forward, and already we're collecting money for the state for the A&T, so we're already in statute for this type thing.
I meant the deferral.
Oh, the deferral?
Yeah.
I think it does, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
But we will reference that.
Well, please know from my perspective, I'm open to any type of negotiated agreement you can reach with the Secretary of State and the Department of Revenue.
That sounds great. So,
thank you very much for your testimony. Yeah. All righty. Colleagues, we have House Bill 3493 in front of us. We are in a work session. Any additional thoughts?
I am. Yes. I'm gonna. If you, I assume you're gonna take this vote today. I'm gonna vote yes. But I do have a concern. I think some good issues have been raised with respect to what process we're going to have set up so that the public has good access and so that the state has an efficient access to the information it needs. And I do get the sense that this package is not complete yet. So I do think some things need to be addressed on the Senate side. At the same time, if it can be molded so that the public does have adequate access without burdening it too much, and the only issue remaining is the revenue stream from the state to the counties, then I think the state has got an obligation to make sure that we are not paying money for something that that we don't need to pay for, as long as it doesn't burden the taxpayers by obliterating the process at the county level for them. And so, in that balance, I think what the chair is trying to create here is a way for the state to save some money and to be able to get access to liens and collect and do what it needs to do. So two laudable goals. I'm just not sure the package is complete yet so that everybody gets what they need. But it's close enough. I'm happy to support.
Well, perhaps we'll see it back in this committee before session ends if Chair Johnson on the other side is able to work between the folks and find additional language. So we need a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we pass out the due pass recommendation, House Bill 3493, relating to the statewide lien register.
Representative Krupp has made a motion to pass out House Bill 3493 with a due pass recommendation. Any other discussion? Any dissension? Seeing none, so moved.
Who will carry this?
I'd like to carry this one.
On the floor also?
Yeah, thanks. Okay, we're now going to close the work session on 3493. And if the committee will just allow for 5 minutes, I'm going to ask if these three ladies could come up and share their thoughts with us. Today we were scheduled to have the Office of the Secretary of State before us, and they were going to come and share their thoughts. Unfortunately, that budget is being postponed, and these ladies have traveled from Portland, Hillsboro area, and we want to make sure their thoughts are heard. So welcome, and if you could just introduce yourselves for the record.
Yeah. My name is Ruth Bendel, 10980 Southwest Muirwood Drive, Portland 97225. I get the other ladies to introduce themselves
first.
Yes.
My name is Sharon Cornish, P.O. Box 312, Hillsboro.
Fran Cinema, 10265 Southwest Citation Drive in Beaverton, Oregon.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to us. We're here with concerns about the centralized voter registration system and the budget that is to be allocated for it, $700,000 match money from the state to access the $18 million from the federal government. That centralized voter registration system is designed to be able to track social security number, driver's license as identification to make sure that whoever registers to vote is who they say they are. And we've got examples in other states that people are not who they say they are. And we are concerned that the Secretary of State has indicated, number one, that he's only going to use $4 million out of that $18 million for that centralized voter registration system and keep the rest of the money as a kind of legacy, which could probably be used for other purposes. And at the same time, he is talking only of merging existing people on the rolls into the system, people who've not supplied data about their last four digits of social security number, who've not supplied a copy of their driver's license, into this expensive system that is designed post 9/11 to make sure that people are who they claim to be. And we do not even have voting in polling places where neighbors are around to say, who is this fellow that claims to be John Brown? We are in a system that is totally anonymous. It's anonymous when people register and fill out that voter registration application. It's anonymous when it comes time to voting. And the fact that the federal government is prepared to give $18 million for this system to function so that we know that people, only eligible people, are registering to vote, and it's not going to be done So we're going to put 2 million people that are currently on the rolls without any proof of ID at all. We've been on a trust but don't verify system now, at least since we went to vote by mail and register by mail. So we're going to put all of these people into the system, and just the newcomers, you know, 1,000 or 2,000, are going to have the data, have to provide the data that HAVA requires. That's both derelict and wasteful, and I don't think Oregonians deserve it. We have a situation in Wisconsin where after the past 2004 election, they did an investigation. They found just in one county, Milwaukee County, 1,500 illegal votes. In Pima County in Arizona, they brought in proof of citizenship requirement. They found that 59% of the 783 people that registered in the last 2 or 3 weeks had to be rejected. They were not eligible to vote.
Mr. Chair.
59%.
Representative Avakian.
In those two examples, is that because they weren't who they claimed they were, or because of other discrepancies in the voting?
They were a multiple of discrepancies. They weren't who they said they were, and they were also not eligible due to citizenship. But in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin situation, false addresses and false names have been given. Now, I will tell you that information is being gathered here in Oregon as well, particularly in Washington County, because we found that at least 20,000 people who were supposed to provide proof of ID when they registered by mail, Deschutes, Washington, Clackamas, and Multnomah, 20,000 people did not provide proof of ID, were sent a reminder at taxpayer expense, a reminder card, yet when their ballots, when they still got a ballot, and when they returned that ballot, we were told by the Secretary of State that once a person votes in a federal election, the interpretation is that they've somehow become a bona fide voter, regardless of non-compliance.
Let me ask you this. What would your solution be?
My solution would be, at the very least, a phase-in re-registration so that we get in all those people who did not provide proof of ID. The 20,000 we're talking about registered by mail. Secretary of State Bill Bradbury interprets people who register and just turn in to a canvasser or anything did not have to provide proof of ID, and there was something like 200,000 of them. They were brought in by the bucket load.
Let me ask you this question, because I think it's very important that you are who you say you are, especially when it comes to voting.
We agree.
But let me ask you this question. I live in a very rural part of the state of Oregon,
mm-hmm.
where it actually takes me longer to get from Heppner to parts of my district than it does from Heppner to Salem.
Yes.
Okay. I have folks who live easily 30 to 40, upwards of probably 60 miles away from the nearest city.
Yes.
What happens if they're not capable of driving into town to show who they are?
We've still got a mail service. They all they're required to do, and this was what was required with the current voter registration application, send mail a photocopy of your driver's license, of something that identifies you. I'm not satisfied with what all the ID materials are listed in the instructions from the Secretary of State. It's a phone bill or a government bill showing that you live at that address. But at the very, you know, even these trivial ID requirements were not met by these people. And what further bothers me, if you just let me finish, is that on page 31 of the 2003 vote-by-mail manual, the Secretary of State instructed the county clerks to, once those people had still voted, regardless of these warnings, right, if they did vote, then to remove from the system the record that these people had not complied with voter registration requirements. So all of these people are now lost in the system. I'm talking 20,000 just from four counties. But there are another 32 counties. And when I wrote to Marion County asking to know how many and for the list of them so that we could potentially even look into it, we were told no. They don't know. They did exactly as they were told in the vote by mail manual. Those people are lost in the system. So you just go figure. We've got hundreds of thousands of people who've never provided proof of ID, first because it wasn't required, and since because they chose not to. And here we are, we're going to go into this expensive centralized voter registration system that's geared up with all of this data tracking process and everything, and we're just going to put nothing into it. We're just going to have nothing better than the Portland water billing system that amounted to nothing, because the only thing that system will now have to go by is a date of birth. Ever heard of people giving an incorrect date of birth?
Representative Crump.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ruth, we have heard of people giving incorrect dates of birth, and
yeah.
That's an issue. I share many of these concerns about the implementation of this new voting or registration system, rather. How many other states are implementing this in the manner that Oregon is choosing to implement this?
I don't know how many other are doing that. All I know is that there's at least two or three states that did a total re-registration. They did it for other reasons as well, because they were also using new machines where people would be voting. So they did. Ohio is one of those states that did total re-registration. And we were told which was the other state. I believe Florida did it as well. So here's states with far larger populations, but they did a total re-registration, and that's what seems to be the norm. We put out inquiries about this. I've not heard of any state that is just merging the cats, dogs, and pelicans into the system without any further knowledge, any trackable.
Representative.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ruth, also, what's the reasoning that the Secretary of State's office has articulated to you as to why they are not going to check, as you, I think, phased in checking of redocumenting, re-registration of all the voters? What's the reason why they've chosen not to do that?
What reason I can give you is the same reason that he is objecting to asking for proof of citizenship, which is still a proof of eligibility to vote, according to the Constitution and according to statute. He's saying it's too onerous, that it would disenfranchise people, and that it would that getting copies of this data, copies of driver's license, whatever it is, would be in the form, could constitute a poll tax. I'm absolutely shocked that in a post 9/11 era, that the Secretary of State would think that it's too much of a burden on people to provide the proof of ID and proof of eligibility that other states are definitely considering, and of course this Arizona is already put in effect. Yes.
Let's do this very quickly. We're going to take just about two more minutes, and then we're going to go, because I promised our committee we would just take five, and I told you five, so let's...
Yeah.
Well, part of the issue was the cost of obtaining these documents. For example, proof of citizenship or birth certificate if it comes from another state. And that was a concern he had. But Ruth and I are both immigrants. And these documents are required for a number of processes that we go through in life. Social Security benefits later in life is one issue. I would just comment, I grew up in rural Montana. My parents immigrated here when I was a small child. Numerous times I've had to provide proof of citizenship. I'm in the military. My children played in Little League. I've had to provide these documents over and over and over. I maintain a certified copy in my records all the time, and I think for such a privilege as voting, which I really, really consider a privilege as an immigrant, that this is the least we can expect of these people. I don't think it's too much to ask for them to have these documents and provide them once. And that's
it. It is just
Representative
once.
I understand that one of your concerns is that the rules are not being followed.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't understand is what problem you think that is causing. I don't know if you're concerned about
the devaluation of our vote. If you have people who are not eligible to vote, whether it's a conspiracy or whatever it is, it devalues each and every vote of other people from who are legitimate voters.
But Representative Bakken finishes. Mm-hmm. Thought.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think you're getting there. All we know is that there's a certain number that the rules were not followed.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if, in fact, they are eligible or not eligible. We simply know that there was a technical violation somewhere. So whether your vote is being devalued or not, I don't know the answer to. So I guess what I'm getting at is, do you think there's some kind of a conspiracy out there to get illegal aliens registered, and so people are intentionally skirting the rules, or do you think that felons are getting out of prison and trying to register to be a part of the system?
So
I don't understand where you
see the problem. I'd like to answer that. In the mid-80s, we had the invasion of the Rajneesh into the city of Antelope. How did they do it? They imported people from all over to cancel out the votes of the residents of Antelope, and it became Rajneesh Puram. You don't think that our adversaries are aware of the vulnerability of our trust but don't verify system? They're very well aware of it. And
who are the adversaries that you're talking about? I'm well aware of what I believe, but I'm trying to sort out
whether
you
they are a group such as the Rajneesh, or whether they are members of Al-Qaeda, or whether they are immigrants that feel that they need more rights and want to vote them in, they are adversaries to our system, and they are certainly adversaries when they are not eligible to vote. Mm-hmm. We have people dying overseas to give democracy and good election systems in other countries, and we've got a system with trust but don't verify that isn't worth anything as long as we don't clean it up. And I don't want to wait till we have a system, something happen like happened in Washington State, in King County. I don't want to find out after an election that my vote didn't count for anything. I believe prevention is worth more than cure. And we have an opportunity with the centralized voter registration system to do it right, and do it right beforehand, not afterwards.
I think
that's it.
No.
I think that's a very, very good message to wrap up on. I truly appreciate your thoughts here. I think you've given the three of us a lot to think about. And I can assure you that we will be asking the Secretary of State his thoughts on this. As a matter of fact, in fairness to the Office of the Secretary of State, Dallas, I'm going to ask if you could just give them a call and let them know that this testimony has occurred today, and give them an opportunity to listen to it if they so choose. Again,
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would ask that we convene a special meeting of our committee and ask the Secretary of State to come in and respond. I have serious misgivings about the direction we are headed at the Secretary of State's level with the implementation of a centralized voter registration system. I deeply want to explore this issue, and I think that if there is some great justification from the Secretary of State's office as to why they're proceeding in the manner they are, I'd like to hear it, and I'd like to explore that. I'd like to question them that. We have the power of the purse. We have to approve this spending at whatever level, and if it's the collective judgment of the legislature that the Secretary of State's office should implement a more extensive system and the money is available, then I would think that we would want to have that debate here, and we would want to make the authorization of funds, the expenditure of funds to achieve that. And that's why I'd like to go forward.
If we could pass this message on to the Secretary of State's office, and then we'll go from there. Yes, just very quickly.
The three of us attended the November election, and we were there every day, and on election night, I was there 21 hours. There is process that we do question. Also, we would like to be here, even if we have to come back tomorrow to hear him, because I want to know what his testimony is because of what he's done in the process, so that we could answer if we don't agree. I don't want him here alone.
Dallas.
If you would, if you have a pen, you know, because of the lateness of the cancellation, you folks came down. Let me give you our office phone number. Do you know the office phone number for Legislative Fiscal Office? Okay. It's 986-1828. And I would suggest that you call this afternoon just before 5 so we can tell you, but we know at that time. How's that?
Yeah.
Because
who'd
we're responsible for posting and taking this off the agenda.
Okay.
Well, we're not. We're the ones that do the legwork. But the, it's
should they ask
leadership.
For you, Dallas, on this issue?
Certainly, or just the scheduler, Gina or someone up front. But we should be able if the schedule has changed right now. It's on the schedule for tomorrow.
Okay. And I'd also share with each of the committee, this has been an issue that I know Chair Kitz has worked through, and I know we took a cursory look at it in the Special Rules and Elections Subcommittee on Campaign Finance Reform. And so
I'd like to make a copy of
that. I think it'll be good to have comments from the Secretary of State on this. So, thank you.
What time with that? Do you have any idea?
Okay, seeing no other business before the committee, we are going to adjourn for the day. Thank you.